I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News, and this is Daily Drive. It's Tuesday, June 30th. Throughout these 4 months, there are stories of heroism, goodwill, and giving. And there are truly inspirational stories, like the one told by Dave Kelleher. When the world stopped in March and dealerships had to close their doors in a state with the strictest guidelines, Dave and his team in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, did what came naturally to them. They took care of their employees. All 70 of them. From the first days of the crisis, when the store's workers filed for unemployment benefits together, with help, to the weekly catered meals for their families, to the uninterrupted dealership-paid health insurance coverage, to the $50 American Express gift cards for those struggling, Dave Kelleher has maintained near-constant communication with all members of his team. He wanted them all back at work when it was over, and now, with sales increasing, he actually has more employees. It's one reason he was a finalist for the 2020 Time Dealer of the Year. And the commitment wasn't cheap. But listen to Dave, and you'll hear a story of compassion, innovation, and reinvention. We've reached Dave Kelleher, president of David Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in suburban Philadelphia. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Great, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with me. I'm curious. You are in one of the states that went into one of the, I would say, you know, strictest lockdowns during COVID-19. Tell me, if you can, what that was like when it occurred, and maybe where you are today.
Yeah, nothing like I had ever anticipated. I mean, worse than the 08 recession for us. It's the we never could have anticipated something like that. So, because overnight, virtually, we were shut down. I mean, closed. 100%
right.
Closed. And then a couple days later, we got some redirection that auto service would be considered essential. But the state itself was stay at home, complete stay at home, and extraordinarily strictly kept. So my showroom doors were locked. At that point, we didn't even have the ability to deliver a car for more than a month at all. Even if we could sell a car, we weren't able to have that type of contact with a customer at all. It was strictly prohibited. So our service had dropped by 75%. So we cut our staffing. So immediately, again, I'll say, you know, the expertise of having been a young dealer in 08, I just saw the writing on the wall and cut everything. And when I tell you I cut, I mean, we stopped everything. We cut all advertising. Every single thing that was cancelable, we did. Everything single thing that we could defer, and great partners like Ally Bank, Ally Financial came back to the table for their dealers and gave us some very nice deferral packages for things like floor plan, very expensive stuff. So we cut our expenses down from an average of just under $1.2 million a year to about $450,000 overnight. That's as low as we could get it being closed. And that's a dangerous place to be, considering you have virtually no revenue coming in. So that was our first step. And then gradually we saw a little bit of service come back to maybe 50%. So if we produced normally 160 hours of service capacity a day, we got to the point where we were doing like 70 hours, up from 35 at the beginning. So again, very little dripping revenue coming in, considering that we have that fixed overhead. And then at the end of May, we were allowed to start selling. In May, we were allowed to start selling online. And we were pleasantly surprised, but we had a decent May. We sold 216 cars in May off of 261 the year before. And then in June 1st, we were able to start taking appointments in the showroom again. We were able to open that up. So 216 cars with the doors locked wasn't horrific.
Mm-hmm.
It was something. And right now we're doing appointments only. But right now I'm on pace to sell 240 cars. That's 8 cars more than I sold last June.
Wow.
And I think that's really because you have that combination of really getting good virtually, as well as being able to take the conventional showroom traffic. So we're optimistic that maybe this was a kick in the pants to tell us that the virtual age is real and it's here. So
you were
looking up a little bit.
That's good. When you were forced to shut down, I want to talk about some of the measures that you took, actually that we wrote about. You really jumped into action, and primarily so that your employees knew that they would go through this crisis with you, that you were with them. What did you do for them?
Yeah, it took me 15 years to build the staff that I have. That's wonderful, 92 employees, and and they're special people. And we've been through a lot of people, you know, hundreds of people to get to the 92 that work for me currently, that understand our culture, understand what we're trying to get accomplished, and really live for their jobs as well as their family. So that's precious commodity. That human capital is more valuable to me than even my money capital. So I was very concerned about what would happen to them, and that one day, in a very short period of time, I had to tell them they were furloughed. So I wanted to become extremely communicative, which we did. And we actually set up a team to help them get onboarded on the unemployment as quickly as they could, so that they had very little lapse in money rolling into them. We cashed in a whole bunch of American Express points that we could use to get gift cards for them to help supplement their groceries at home and their bills at home. And we gave them out. And then I bought them a few dinners, most notably being Easter. But we did this three times, where I took a local caterer who was a great friend and a guy that had always worked for us, did lots of events at the dealership. And we prepared menus and and we fed their families. They came for curbside pickup and got to take home some beautiful meals for their families, so that they didn't have to incur that expense, and they knew we were right with them. And some of them even took home some nice bottles of wine that we presented, because we wanted them to really feel as normalized as possible. But I think the thing that really I took was the importance of the communication. You know, I did weekly or sometimes twice a week newsletters, updating them on where we were, what is going on, what events what things we're doing to help their families, and how we stayed behind them. And the loyalty that came back to me, I mean, the moment they could come back, regardless of what they were making on unemployment, they just came back. They said, I'm in. And I, you know, maybe I didn't even realize that that was going to have that type of impact. But we maintained 100% of our staff. And in fact, with business uptaking, we're actually 4 employees higher than we were when we entered the pandemic.
Wow.
Right now. Yeah. And that, I'm telling you, that loyalty and that commitment to this organization and who we are, that's invaluable. It was a real benefit that maybe I didn't even predict would come out of this.
You also kept health insurance, which we wrote about was about a $45,000 per month expense, including covering what would have been shared costs that your employees would have had.
We did, because I'm thinking to myself, these poor people get furloughed. They get, at the time, this was before the federal government had kicked in. So they were looking at normalized unemployment benefits, which in the state of Pennsylvania is half of what you make up to $1,200 a week. So most of my people would be taking substantial pay cuts. And I'm thinking, we're going to do that, and then, you know, then they're going to get hit with a COBRA, which is the normalized system for offboarding somebody off of your insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I can't allow that to happen. And then my controller said, well, what do we do about their portion of the payment? I said, well, we can't allow that to happen either. So that was a $45,000 expense that I just felt I was obligated to, at least for a couple of months. And then the government came through. It came through for them on unemployment and gave them some supplemental. And then the PPP loan we were able to take advantage of, which offsetted some of the cost of those employee benefits. Not the first month, because we weren't in the program then, but it offset the second and the third. And now we're almost back to normal again. So, you know, I was prepared to take a $90,000 to $135,000 hit on that, and just figured that was what I needed to do. But we got a little bit of help, truth be told, and that was really welcome.
So you outlined a little bit about where the state is right now and where your sales are. What are your current challenges? Inventory has been such a problem for everybody around the country. Are you feeling the same thing, Dave?
Yeah, it's really, you know, I don't know how many new cars I could sell this month if I had full stock of inventory. We're down under a 60-day supply, running like a 45 to 48-day supply right now. And we're watching our tape every day saying, when are they getting here? When are they getting here? So, candidly, within the industry, if I can speak to you guys, you know, we've raised our margin just a bit successfully. Customers want the cars. They need the cars. Not a great deal, but a couple hundred bucks a car, because we pre-priced everything. But you raise your margin a little bit. Supply equals demand on that curve. And then we worked really hard to acquire used car inventory, which is very tough too, Jason, and very expensive right now. But we've done a pretty good job of that. So I'm actually enjoying the best used car month that I've ever had.
Wow.
I think in large part because we just don't have a new car inventory to support unbridled new cars, but it's coming, I hope.
Have you changed your approach to sales? I mean, what is your sales team learned in the process beyond just digitization, which of course everybody's talking about now, but a better digital process. But what else have you learned from your sales team?
Yeah, well, again, consider in May, we delivered 216 cars without a client coming to the showroom.
Yeah, right.
So entirely electronically. So, you know, they bought the car online. We delivered it to them. We gave them a 72-hour right of rescission if they didn't like it, because we obviously had given up the ability to test drive. And what I, another thing I didn't anticipate that you get to learn from is the response from the customers was remarkable. The experience to them was so much better that, you know, for years I knew this was coming, Jason, but I kept taking the same approach as so many do and saying, it's not here yet. They're not ready for that yet. They still got to touch it. They got to feel it. They got to smell it. I'm not that believer anymore. In fact, I yelled at my guys today for making too many customers come in. You know, we had 33 opportunities on Saturday. I think that's too many. I think some of those people would have taken the test drive at home. And I think not only would they have taken the test drive at home, they would have liked it. They would have enjoyed the experience. They would have become very loyal customers in the future, understanding that we're at the beginning of a new wave of being able to do business. Look, people shook their head at Amazon when they came out. They shook their head at other people that have innovated in the marketplace. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be the guy that's ready to do that. And I'm going to look more upon the amount of virtual deliveries we have than I am about the amount of appointments we have in the showroom, which I've never done before. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Tell me about the beta test that you're doing right now.
Yeah, it's great, because you can't do online sales without a great online tool. And working again with my great partners at Ally, they had a company they wanted me to look at. I had just come off of a test for FCA, for Chrysler, that I really like their product as well, but why not try the market? And so I looked at a program through a company called Modal and that Ally had hooked up with. Their concern was to protect their clients, you know, about 18,000 car dealers they have relationships with, and also to be able to maintain service contract sales, which is a big part of Ally's business. A lot of people may not know, and online puts a stress on that business because you lose the normalized finance procedure. So I took a look at this product, and we've had a great deal of success with it. I mean, I'm going to tell you, 4 to 6 people buying the car completely online without speaking to anybody or even emailing with anybody, taking the car, going to the checkout lane, and going right through the process. Modal, to their credit, I thought there were some things that needed to be improved. They've been very open to that, and we made some necessary changes that they're putting into play right now that I think are going to make this the most cutting-edge product out there, and it's going to help sell a lot of service contracts because just some things were off, and we were able to tweak them a little bit. So, again, Jason, I don't go to the store anymore. I buy on Amazon. Mm-hmm. I'm busy. I can do it at a stoplight. And I can't imagine that people aren't thinking the same way about even our business. Even though it's a durable good, even though it's a high-ticket item, they know what they want. And I said to my people this morning in a meeting, my customer's on their 5th Grand Cherokee. They don't need to test drive it. And if they do, we're happy to do that. Mm-hmm. But they know what they want. Get out of the way and let them buy the car.
Yes. You described it earlier well. A kick in the pants for the industry, right? In a positive way.
Well, it's a wake-up call, but I wonder how many of my competitors, how many of my colleagues are going to run back to mom and start looking out the window again. Hmm. And there's something to be said for looking out the window of the showroom, but I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but I'm going to take a very assertive role in trying to find a way to do this virtually as well and giving my customers that opportunity.
Are you going to need different types of employees in the future?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've had the old dogs have learned some new tricks, right? But let me speak candidly. You don't need the high-ticket, long-term experience salesperson to do this job, in my opinion. I think there's a time down the road where if we train young people, you know that the next generation's interested in salary. We know they're interested in stability of schedule. We know they're interested in stability of job. We know the things that the new millennials, they need in their employment. And I think this fits them in large part. I think they would enjoy this experience and have some stability. And I think we can do it less for less, but we also have to do it for less because the margins shrink in this type of market. You know, the online marketplace isn't one where you can really be too coy about your selling price. You've got to be aggressive. So, I think there's a new type of employee. I mean, we're hiring kids out of college now. They're very, very adept at using the online tools, of using the digital. Heck, they know it. They don't have cable. They stream. They understand this stuff. So, yeah, I think our marketplace is changing, and I think you need human resources to look at things in a greatly different manner.
A very traditional thing that this business has known well has been the NADA convention. You have been very active at NADA. In fact, you were a finalist for Time Dealer of the Year at NADA. Tell me what you think that looks like in January in New Orleans.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what it looks like, but, you know, I really hope and I trust NADA so much that they'll come up with the right solution. I'm jonesing to be in New Orleans. I'm jonesing to see the dealers around the country that are my brothers and my friends and hug them and kiss them, and we probably won't be able to do that, I know. I think it's going to look socially distant. I think it's going to be very digitized. I hope that it is in New Orleans. I hope that we're in a place where we can go there safely and travel. But I know one thing. I know NADA is going to find the right mix to bring it to us. I think they understand how important it is, more important right now for our dealers. But it's also important for us to find the right vendors that we need to find to do some of the things that are challenging the marketplace. And those things are tough to do. But if there's a way to do it virtually, if we need to do that, I think they'll find out. But I don't think you can ever... I don't think you can ever take, you know, underestimate the importance of us all being together, of the hug that I'll give you when I see you in New Orleans, or I normally would have given you, Jason.
You've done that, yes.
I have given you a hug.
Yeah.
And you know, it's so gratifying to see your friends, to talk, you know, to go to dinner and talk more about the car business. You know, I hope that we find a way to do it. But if we don't, I know NADA is going to do the right thing and put us in the right position to still have something that's going to be important and valuable to our dealerships.
Well, Dave Kelleher, there was a rather moving photo that we used in the story that we wrote about your dealership back in April that shows you passing out meals to employees at your dealership in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania. It is symbolic of the effort that you put forth. It is emblematic of the assistance that you tried to provide your community. And I just want you to know how important that that was. And thanks for sharing your story with us.
Jay, anytime, man. You're getting me a tear up a little bit. But you know what? I love those people. I love this business, and I'm such a blessed guy every day. So if I got two quarters, my team can have one of them. I'll tell you that. So we're fortunate.
Great. Thanks so much for being on Daily Drive, Dave.
Jason, what a pleasure. Well, thanks for the honor.
We've reached Dave Kelleher in suburban Philadelphia. And that's Daily Drive for Tuesday, June 30th. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And for a library of more than 75 stories, go to autonews.com/Daily Drive. We'll be back Wednesday.